From Miami Beach, Florida, welcome to Believe. I'm Nicholas Upchurch. It's an honor to have you here. I want to help you to change your life. I want to help you to find your truth and to succeed. And we do that in five categories, of course: money and business, true success, health and wellness, world news, and our universe. Our website, of course, is www.believe.love, and our YouTube is youtube.com/believeloves you. iTunes listeners, you can get this at believeiTunes.com, and Android listeners, believeAndroid.com. We have a really, really cool guest on. I'm gonna introduce him in a second. He owns a portfolio of 675 units, that's real estate, valued at $32 million. Really, really amazing guy. And we also wanna help you to grow your business. So I wanna talk about one of our partners. Again, we've got emails about this, but let's go to, for YouTube viewers, let's go to our browser right now. You can go to right now, www.believe.love/clickfree to get a free trial of ClickFunnels. And so when you have a $1 million idea, but you need to get started with a business online, it can be really tough because you got to get a shopping cart. You have to get you have to get your landing page set up. You have to get your email set up. And there's so many things to put together. And ClickFunnels lets you do this easily. So with ClickFunnels, you don't have to worry about coding, website building, or design. You can just make a sales funnel for virtually any type of business and see your sales skyrocket. And actually, when you go to www.believe.love/clickfree, you get a 14-day free trial. And this will actually save you time and money. And believe me, I know, because I've set up so many businesses over the years and websites, and piecing it all together, getting the web host, uploading your web pages, making sure it looks good, setting everything up, and then getting your landing page looking great, and then actually converting. So converting into whether you're collecting email addresses and giving away a free report, and then going to your sales page and making sure your sales page looks good. This has a lot of templates. It's really easy, drag and drop, so it will save you time and money so you can actually get started now. So again, that's www.believe.love/clickfree to get your 14-day free trial of that. So I want to introduce our guest today. He's a really, really amazing guy. He's a father of six children. He's actually owned a restaurant for 25 years, or he has in the past. We'll ask him about that. He's a certified professional coach. He's a partner in JakeandGino.com, which is a real estate education company. And we're going to actually pull that up here right now for our YouTube viewers. You can actually access some free stuff. We're going to actually ask our guest about this site, but it looks like a really cool site with a lot of interesting free things and a lot of opportunities to grow a business. So our guest today is Gino Barbaro. Gino, how are you doing today, sir?
Nicholas, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you. So Gino, let me ask you this. You are a real estate expert, and you exited the rat race on March 1st, 2016. Tell us about your experience sort of exiting the rat race and getting into real estate.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't really call myself an expert. I am constantly learning. I created Jake and Gino to actually do that. That was one of the missions of Jake and Gino, to dive in there and really force myself to learn more about the education and the multifamily. And it really helped me out, helped me connect with people. But, you know, I think as experts, you never want to call yourself an expert, because that's when you stop learning and you stop growing. And that's when you just fall way behind. And as you know, Nicholas, the way things are moving nowadays at the speed of light, with all these companies coming in, disrupting the market, whether it's a CrowdStreet who's doing a crowdfunding path for him, or I talked to somebody from StackSource today who's trying to disrupt the market with the commercial real estate with financing. It's just amazing what's going on. We live in amazing times right now. And if people just shut off the TV and the internet and just do what they got to do, you have so many opportunities out there. Anyway, sorry to get off on the tangent on that.
That's very true.
You know, I got out of the rat race, and I just want all your listeners to really focus on this. Anywhere you are in life right now, I think the number one goal of anybody listening to this podcast is to become financially free. Because when you become financially free, that's when you start making the money, and that's when you start growing, and that's when you start doing what you're passionate about. Until then, you're always worrying about paying the bills. You're always worrying about getting the money, and that's what your focus is on. Once you've got that sort of set up, all of a sudden your days start to become yours. I call it TGIF. I call it thank God I'm free, and not thank God it's Friday, right? I mean, I never knew what that meant. I never would imagine myself that, because I was in the restaurant business, and I don't call it a business. It was more of a job. It was a one location, and I was very good at it. Unfortunately, a lot of us in this world are very good at something, and that doesn't translate into making money. It just translates into being mediocre. And I'd never scaled the business. I didn't know how to scale the business. I had an immigrant dad who said, you've got to be there. You've got to do it. So for the first 10 years, it was fantastic. We made great money. I enjoyed it. But, you know, once 08 came by, things changed. It was a seismic shift. And I just said to myself, getting to be about 40 years old, I've got a bunch of kids. I've got to do something that makes more money and something that I enjoy.
Well, I definitely understand. I mean, I had millions of dollars in properties in 08. It was residential, so I actually want to ask you about commercial. So I got wiped out. I was quite young. I was about 26, 27. And it was tough, but I know what you mean. So there's a transition you made from right, like the restaurant business, because when I was 18, you know, I recognized the managers are working like 60 hours. Like, this is no joke, you know?
Yep.
So how did you get into specifically commercial real estate? Because I've heard that, you know, it can be quite different than residential. Is that correct?
It is. And what happened with me was I just wanted to supplement my income. So back in 03, I bought my first fourplex with my brother. I was working full time at the restaurant. And I needed something to do part time. I didn't want to fix and flip because I didn't want to have another job. I wanted to buy something that was, quote unquote, a little bit more passive. So back in 08, 09, I bought a couple of the commercial properties in New York. Didn't fare well with them. But then when I started getting serious, I started getting into the multifamily space. And it is different. Residential, if you're doing it full time, if you're residential broker, it's a great thing. But once again, it's hard to create wealth in that space. It's hard to scale up in that space. And that's what drove me to multifamily. The fact that I could buy 25 units or 200 units and scale it up and really treat it as a business and even do it passively. If you've got partners out there, if you're into syndications, there's a lot of wonderful benefits of multifamily real estate.
So multifamily, would you say that it's more of a long-term play versus a fix and flip, or can it be both?
You know, it can be both, because basically the way syndications are structured, where guys are setting up syndications and
what
trying
is
to raise
syndication for people.
It basically, a syndication basically is, you know, an investor has a deal. He doesn't have the money. He needs to raise private money. So he goes out and he creates a syndication, which I guess you can call it a type of security. There's regulations out there where it makes it a little bit easier for you to raise money. And you're basically raising money for this one deal. What they're trying to do is they're trying to create and raise this money, put the deal into the contract, and then hopefully there are a lot of syndicators, a lot of guys who raise this money are trying to hold the deal for 3 to 5 years, create equity in the property, force the net operating income, force the value of the property up, and hopefully within 3 to 5 years, they'll be able to sell. So that's a glorified fix and flip to me. They're not long-term holders. You know, to really create wealth in real estate, I think it's people are always focused on the transaction-based part of it. But anyone who's wealthy really knows you get wealthy by equity. You don't get wealth by transactions. And I think with multifamily, when you're looking at it, you know, you have the aspect where you can buy it, you can refinance the money out, hold the asset. That's what you want. You want to build equity in any asset that you want to really create wealth.
What would somebody Google if they wanted to find out more about syndications? Would it multifamily syndication?
There's so many websites out there. I mean, you could go onto a website like Bigger Pockets, type in syndications. They have a great space out there for real estate investors. I would type syndications. I would type in raising private money. There's so many sites out there that really talk about it. I mean, a lot of guys.
Bigpockets.com, is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I even think connectedinvestors.com is also another website that you can go and learn more about.
And then your website, do you guys have, I might as well ask you now. So you have some cool free stuff on here as well, don't you?
We do, and we're having a live event November 11th and 12th in Knoxville, Tennessee. And what we ended up doing was, since Jake and I have not yet syndicated a deal, everything we own in our portfolio is our own money, from scaling up, refinancing it, repurposing the money. And we have guys in our live event who are going to be talking about syndications, who have done syndications, and who are going to walk the investors on how to do a syndication. You know, it's like anything else in life. It might be tricky your first one, but once you get the recipe down, it's just like any other transaction. You just got to get comfortable with it. And once you get comfortable with it, it's a really great way to actually control real estate without having any of your own money in it.
Well, that's really awesome. So, if a beginner wants to get started, what would you recommend that a beginner do to get involved in either real estate or specifically multifamily transactions like you've done?
Well, I think the first thing anybody has to do is they have to get clarity in their life. You know, figure out what your exit strategy in life or anything is, why you're doing something. Focus on the reason why you're doing it. And for me, multifamily was really clear. It was a way for me to get financial freedom. The next thing I had to focus on was, okay, I've got to learn this stuff. You want to shorten your learning curve, or you want to have those pain, you know, the trial and tribulations. I was fortunate that I joined a program with a mentor. I got some coaching, some private coaching, which really helped me out tremendously. So I would go out there and really spend some money on your education. You know, people go to college for 4 years and they'll drop $100,000. But right. Then when they have to go to a boot camp for a weekend and look at a $3,000, oh, they're ripping me off. No, you can't think of it that way. You have to believe in yourself. Do a lot of due diligence on the guys you're going to go see, but make sure you need to educate yourself. Spend 6 to 12 months before you invest money. And I always joke with my wife on this. You know, I know people in my life that spend hours and days and weeks, you know, looking at and researching on how to buy a car and what type of car, but yet they won't spend 10 minutes on their own investment. So I guess you have to prioritize and make sure you invest in yourself first. Do that. And really, I guess the other thing would be focus on a specific niche. I'm not saying multifamily is the end all be all. I think it's fabulous, but there are other niches out there. If you like to fix and flip, fine. If you like the residential single family home space, great. But just know why you're getting into it and know what your exit strategy is. Once you do that, just focus on a market. Pick a market that you think you're going to like, whether it's we started in Knoxville, Tennessee. I actually, believe it or not, bought a couple of duplexes in Rochester about 7 or 8 years ago, wanting to cash flow. It was a great cash flowing market. I eventually sold because I moved everything down to Knoxville. But I think just start focusing on a market. And, you know, we teach on what type of markets to focus on as far as job growth, population growth. We can get into that right now, but I think that'll be too long. But I think really focus on the market. And then the next thing is get a mentor. Like I said, have a mentor be there with you. You know, be able to ask questions, walk you through the process. After you do that, start forming a team. I mean, real estate, and I think anything in life is all about team building and it's all about networking.
Well, that's beautiful. So somebody needs to really get... Yeah, I totally agree with you regarding universities. I mean, I went to one. Everything I actually use in business to generate millions of dollars of sales online myself, I actually taught myself after, but I'm glad I went. But I definitely agree with you. If it's a legitimate thing, you probably, it would be a good investment if you're actually going to take action to spend some money on an education where you actually might make money. They don't teach you how to make money in college, actually.
Nope.
So it's
unfortunate because, I mean, I think as an entrepreneur, I think the number one thing that we have to learn is sales, and the number two thing is marketing, and they really don't teach sales and marketing. I actually, believe it or not, I went online. I spent some bucks with Grant Cardone. I think his programs are really amazing. I've learned a lot of stuff through his programs. Are they cheap? No, but there's a ton of value. You have to do it. And unfortunately, I wish these universities were focusing on that, but they're not.
Yeah, definitely. And then how to find trends and getting right along those lines in terms of selecting a market. And of course, it takes a long time to go through everything. But how did so somebody has to find a mentor. They have to decide they're going to invest in their education or actually research a lot, you know, get on BiggerPockets, you know, take some action, get on BiggerPockets.com, other websites. But then how did you go about selecting a market? Because that is quite interesting. Like, for example, in Florida here, Miami is kind of, at least in residential, in the residential zone, Miami, which is where we are, is a bit stagnant. But up near Daytona Beach, where a lot of the baby boomers are retiring, and then around that area, Daytona, is supposed to go up 30%. There's a lot of people moving there, you know, and that the houses are quite cheap still. And actually, interestingly enough, the rents in many cases, because I have a friend who's a real estate broker there, the rents in many cases are actually lower by maybe even 30% than mortgages. The rents are higher. Yeah, she actually could rent it out and pay her mortgage and have money left over, where in Miami, that's not the case. It's actually You know, to buy and to own, you're going to spend more, even with the low mortgage rates, than if you were to rent. Mm-hmm. So how would you select a market?
You know, I was fortunate. My partner, Jake, lived in New York. He decided to move down to Knoxville, Tennessee. And he's like, I'm moving down. I said, well, when you get down there, give me a call. We'll start looking at properties. And we just chose Knoxville by default. We love the market, blue collar market. It was an emerging market. You want the jobs. You know, multifamily right now is at a weird, I guess, an inflection point because interest rates are still low. As you said, there's a lot of baby boomers and a lot of millennials who are actually want to rent. It's better for them to rent because they're not 10, they're 1099 workers. They're transitioning right now. They're not full-time employees. They don't want to be held down by a job. So they're very, you know, they're transient. They can move out whenever they want. Sure. Students have a lot of student debt, so they can't buy houses. As you can see, families are forming at a later date. So all these people are renting. So you have this influx of renters, which is actually a good thing. And it's a bad thing because what happens is you have all this money from private equity coming into the multifamily space, which is pushing prices up. You have, but on the other end, like you said, all these people are trying to rent. So there's really an inflection point. I think the market is a little bit overbought right now. I think we're due for a correction. I mean, the cycle is almost 10 years long. I don't know when. Yeah, it has been. So, you know, but as far as your point, I chose Knoxville and I was fortunate. We started buying 4 years ago and it was great. The jobs are coming back. You always want, job growth is a number one. You want to be in a market where there are jobs coming in. You don't want to go into a market, like I said, like I was in Rochester, where there's no jobs up there. There's no job growth. You know, the Rust Belt of America, those prices are going to be stagnant. They're not going to go anywhere. If you're in the market and you're living there and you can control, maybe that's okay if it's in your backyard. But if you're somebody living in New York and you're going to want to go down to Florida, you're going to want to pick an area where there's job growth.
I agree. So, and you know, it's interesting. I'm from Michigan originally, and it's maybe the first time ever actually in that area the prices mm-hmm. have really gone up a lot. And even yep. during 05, 04, Michigan was quite stagnant. And finally, at least in that particular part of the Midwest, the prices are going mm-hmm. up, but I don't know how long that's going to last. And Detroit's becoming revitalized. And even during the boom before 08, Detroit, it wasn't happening. You know, it wasn't going up.
Yep.
So I don't know what's going to happen there. But let me ask you this. How much money do you need to get started in terms of investing in multifamily units?
Sure. I mean, I can give you an example of what we did on our very first deal. Depending on the market where you are, you normally buy these deals based on the per unit cost. So our first deal was 25 units. The price was $600,000. We were very fortunate because we got owner financing. The owner actually held part of the down payment as a note. So we needed to come up with 10% of the down payment out of our pocket, which was $60,000. And the owner held a 10% note for $60,000. So, and the rest of it was bank financing. So between me, Jake, and actually my brother was in on the first deal, we needed to come up with a total of $83,000 for this first deal, which if you think about it, it's really amazing. You're owning an asset that's worth $600,000. And, you know, the leverage is unbelievable. I mean, if you're only putting down 10%. So it all depends on the size of the deal. I always tell people, if you're getting into the space and you're unsure and you're young, the best way to do it is to buy a duplex, rent out one side and live in the other. It's not going to cost you that much. That will help you pay the mortgage and pay part of your, you know, part of your taxes, part of your holding costs. Best way to start. So it all depends where you start. And like I said, if you're going to syndicate and raise money, you don't need money. You can use other people's money. So the answer to that question is a little difficult depending on where you are. But I think, you know, anybody can start. There's those limiting beliefs in life saying that, oh, you know what, I'm comfortable in residential. I know single family homes. It's easy to get a mortgage. But once you get into the commercial space, getting a mortgage on a 5 unit and above, I think is easier because they're looking at the asset. They're not basing it on your credit score, although they do to a certain degree, but they're really looking at the property. They're looking to make sure that the property can hold the mortgage value. So in some instances, it's easier to get a property mortgaged.
So was it an 80-20 and the owner came up with 10 or held 10?
Yep. So it was 80 bank, 10 us, and 10 owner. Yes.
And with closing costs, it was 83 total or something like
that. Yep. Yeah. And a year and a half later, we refied the property. We pulled out $180,000. So you can see the amount of money that we put it down 80. We got back 180. And, you know, what happened was we got such better terms after we refied that the payment stayed the same. So it was fantastic for us. So you can see the power of leverage, and that money, we just rolled that money into another deal.
Did the value go up, the appraised value, or how?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, what happened was the net operating income, we took the property over and it was doing, I think, $12,000 a month. That income went up dramatically. It went up to $16,000 or $17,000 a month. And the expenses, we cut the expenses a ton. You know, they were paying for the cable bill. They weren't billing back for utility. So we really slashed expenses. So, you know, commercial real estate is based all on net operating income. Basically, your gross income, take away your operating expenses, and that's your NOI. If you can raise that NOI, you're going to make money. And that's what we ended up doing. So the property, it appraised for a little bit over $800,000 a year and a half later.
Because the monthly income had gone up, your net.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what was your mortgage? Yes. Okay, on the $600,000, well, you're paying, you know, you had a 540 mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, 3-4? I'm trying to even. So what was the mortgage?
I don't remember what it was. I'm not even sure.
Are the rates similar to residential?
Well, it depends. On this one, it was our first deal, so we didn't know what we were doing. We just, you know, ready, aim, fire, ready, fire, aim, whatever you want to call. We got in, and the rates at the time, they should have been 4.5. We got a 5.5% interest rate.
But you got the deal.
Yeah, we got the deal. We got a 20-year AM, and that's how you learn. I think people are sometimes overanalyzing things, and it's just amazing. Just focus on what you want, not what you don't want. You're going to make mistakes, and mistakes are good because mistakes are how you learn in life. And, you know, it's funny. Somebody told me, I was in a mastermind group last week, and one of the guys said, "Hey, Gino, have you ever really sucked at anything in life?" And I sat there for a second. I said, you know, not really. I really haven't been, other than basketball maybe, I really haven't been bad at anything in life. And, you know, if you really look at that in life and you put that into everything you do, you're going to make mistakes, but that's okay. That's how we learn. And, you know, that's what Jake and I did. And, you know, 700 units later, thank God we got bad terms on that first deal because we learned.
It's not that bad.
Well, no, they weren't bad, but I mean,
not your best, right?
But
not,
yes,
not
exactly.
Bad.
So, you know, we learned from it, and now we're teaching guys how to get better terms and better rates on their first deal.
So, well, I like that, and that's at jakeandgino.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
jakeandgino.com. I recommend people check that out. So, I like numbers. So, what it seems to me though, your mortgage could have only been, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000. I'm thinking, like, I'm doing the math in my head.
It was less than that. I think it was maybe $3,500 a month.
Yeah, because I had properties years ago, but I had a second, and so you're right. So $12,000 a month. You were clearing quite a bit then.
What happens is you on a property like that, you have a 10% management fee because you have to pay management fee. So Jake was managing the property. So, you know, in our operating agreement, he's managing it. He's getting paid 10% because if he's not managing, someone else is. So, you know, operating expenses on a property like that might run you 50% of income. It all depends. So let's say we're probably netting $3,000 a month on that property, you know, cash flow, positive cash flow, which, you know, on a property
right
like that
is
fantastic.
That's amazing.
No, it is. It's great. And that's the great thing about it. And the other thing about multifamily is, like we said, Jake and I were both working full-time jobs. I had the restaurant. He was working as a pharmaceutical rep. So, you know, it allowed us to buy 25 contiguous units on one parcel, a lot easier to manage, a lot easier to handle the tenants. It's all in one location. And all of a sudden, we're off to the races. We've got a little mini business going.
So, well, I like this because, yeah, like in Miami Beach or maybe, I don't know, Manhattan, that gets you half a studio. I actually have friends in New York and you're in New York, right? So in Miami, like if you buy a $600,000 condo, which is a pretty nice place, but you know, around south of Fifth, at the end of South Beach, Miami, mm-hmm. you know, that's a one bedroom, right? And you rent that out for $2,500. It's a way different story than what we're talking about here.
Well, what I think every investor needs to focus on, they need to focus on cash flow. See, a lot of guys, they got hurt in 06, 07. They were looking at the capital appreciation. Our whole model is buying, you know, I don't want to get too involved. Some of your listeners might not understand it, but we're looking for properties that service blue collar tenants. We look at it, we call them mom and pop properties. We're looking for properties that cash flow from the gate from day one, and then with the ability to add value. A lot of guys are looking at properties for location and going, well, 3 years from now, I might make money. I might make, we have to buy from day one. It's not about what you right. pay. It's, you know, it's what you're paying for these properties. So we focus on cash flow. We don't worry about what it's going to do 3 years from now. The capital appreciation, I call it the icing on the cake.
Yeah. And I've only thought about single family. And again, Deltona is a very random, Deltona, Florida, mm-hmm. random market where the rents are higher than the mortgage. And so that might be a place somebody might look for multifamily too. So how hard is it to find these multifamilies that do cash flow where the mortgage is actually less than the, you know, what you're bringing in, even maybe before some of the improvements, like you optimized to make it 16K, then you took money out. How hard to, you know, some of these residential courses that you see, remember those on TV, you know, different mm-hmm. guys. I mean, some of them are like, you know, and they have people bird dog. Like I looked into this like 10 when I was in college, right? And then it's like, it's kind of hard to find a good deal. Like there's a million people doing it. How hard is it to find these multifamily deals like this?
Well, right now, I mean, the market, we haven't bought anything in the last 18 months. We've got two deals in the last 2 weeks that we put on the contract. We're getting them on the contract now, but we haven't bought anything since March of last year. We're just chasing deals. And part of the problem is we know where the market was. So when you have a preconceived notion of what you're paying, then all of a sudden prices escalate so much, it's hard to chase, and we don't want to chase. And I've made the mistake of overpaying, so I'm a little wary. But yeah. if you get out there, it's all about networking. It's all about choosing the right broker. It's all about getting to those REI meetings. It's all about talking to people, and you have to have your pulse on the market. You know, you have to know what's going on in your market. Is it easy? It's not easy, because if it was, everyone would be doing it. But sure. I really think if you get out in the market like we did, I mean, I was up at Jake's in Knoxville 3 weeks ago, Hurricane Irma. Mm-hmm. I just moved to Florida in June.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, relocated with the entire family. We're here for 3 months. All of a sudden, hurricane's coming. We have to evacuate. And, you know, thank God that I was able to say, you know what, I can leave for a week. I can afford to, you know, vacate and go. And we ended up having a great time up there for a week. But I was actually able to go look at a couple of deals. And that's what financial freedom does. It gives you the ability to go out and focus on other stuff. And we were up there for the week. We got those two deals down. And it's what it's all about. You have to be in the market and always looking.
Yeah, you have to be on it. You have to be on yep. the ball. And so let me ask you this, Gino, regarding what you just said about the market. What do you think the outlook is? Because the stock market, in a way, a lot of people say it's way overheated, but it keeps going up. What do mm-hmm. you think is going to happen with the real estate market? And does that give you caution, or do you feel better? You know, my friend Brooke, who lives in Deltona, she's the broker there. She says that even if there is a correction, the fact that the rents are higher than the mortgage, you know, even if the rents go down a little, it's still paying for her property until the values rise up again, even if it's mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 years. Is that how you feel as well? Or how do you kind of negotiate that with yourself in terms of, you know, are these deals too risky? Should I sell because the market's overheated? What do you think about that?
I have a very smart guy that I've met down here. I do Facebook Live calls with him every Wednesday. His name is Len Giancola. Great guy, really super smart guy. And he told me, and I really believe this. He said, I buy with the intention that if prices go back to pre-2008 levels, if I can still cash flow and hold on to them, that's what I'm worried about. You have to worry about eliminating your downside risk. So you have to think of worst case scenarios. So that's why a lot of these deals for me aren't working, because those prices are just, if they go back to 2008, you're going to be in big trouble. So that's what I really look for.
And
Why would
somebody be in trouble if you could lay it out for somebody that's maybe just getting started?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you're buying a property and you're paying $200,000 for it, you know, and the price really drops precipitously, and all of a sudden, not even the price. Let's just say all of a sudden the economy tanks and let's say you have four units and two of those units go vacant. All of a sudden you can't pay the mortgage because there's a lot of vacancy in that property. That's what I'm more worried about more than anything else. I mean, the long-term indicators are great for multifamily because, like we said, there's going to be demand. I mean, you know, affordable housing is really difficult out there. There's less people buying properties. I'm just thinking in the intermediate term, we might have a correction because the economy has also been growing for the last 6 years. So we haven't had a quote unquote recession. So the thing that would scare me would be a recession more than anything else, if people losing jobs. But that's why how you can counter it by saying, let me be in a stronger market. And I think the Southeast and the Southwest have some, and even states like Texas have strong job markets. That's where you want to be. So then if there are jobs that are being shed, those will shed the jobs the latest, and you'll at least be able to keep your properties full. You can always drop prices on your rents, but if you have to drop rents prices so much that you can't pay the mortgage, that's when you get in trouble. That's why people are overpaying right now. And if those rents have to drop because all of a sudden there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of supply in the market and there's not enough people renting these things, that's what makes me most fearful.
Sure. So what is the number that they're assuming rents could drop? This guy that you do the calls with on Facebook Live, because the values could drop a lot, but as long as the rents stay sturdy, you know, like we said, you can pay your mortgage until the values might rise up in 5-7 years. What does he think the rents could drop? Does he plan for 20%?
He's in a different business. He does vacation rentals. Okay. So he's a little bit different. But I'm just saying for us, for multifamily, what's been going on over the last 6 years, you probably know this, rents have been going up on average 6-7% a year for the last 5-6 years. That can't continue. So guys, what they do is when they're looking at deals, they're projecting that rent growth in perpetuity for the next 4-5 years. If you're underwriting or you're analyzing deals based on that, you're not giving yourself any downside risk. You're already, you know, best case scenario. So there's no room. So if all of a sudden we get a little bit of a slowdown and rents don't grow for a year or two, you're in big trouble and you're trying to project rents. So I'm just telling people to be very conservative when you're underwriting deals. Look at the actual numbers of what a property is doing. People like to give you something called a pro forma, which they say is going to happen 3 years down the road. You want to know what they've done for the last 12 months and base your calculations on what they're actually doing in today.
Yeah. And people should probably build in, again, if they go down a little, right? Not that we want them to, but I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going up 6-7% a year, eventually, not only might it stop growing, but it might go down a little for a while.
That's right. Well, and that's what happened. We bought our first property in 2013. The rents for a two-bedroom we assumed were $450 a month. Now you're looking at October 2017, those same two-bedroom apartments, they're renting for $650 a month. So you're talking $200 a month on a $450 unit. That's 50%. That's a tremendous amount. They were under-rented, obviously. There was a lot of value. But still, you're talking a good, you know, 10-12% per year for the last 3 years. That's huge, and that's not sustainable because people, there's only so much they make. They're only making $14-15 an hour. They're not making any more, so you can't, you know, those rents really can't go up that much more.
So if it got back down to $450, would you still be okay in that case?
On that property, we would probably be cash flowing a little bit. Yeah,
that's
would.
Good.
Yeah,
that's
no, it good. Is. It's exactly, because we're not over-levered. We're not over-leveraged on the property.
That's so great, we would be because okay. Then you could ride it out, and then on the backside, hopefully you get another spike.
Yep.
You know, and it might even go higher than it was. You know, it might go higher than 650. Who knows?
Yep.
And it might not drop, right? But at least you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So so in terms of people getting started with real estate and because you're right, people are jumping the gun. People get frantic, especially when things are good, right? I've noticed this. When things are good, especially there was that movie about the 2006 time, which I lived through that time in Miami. I know Jonah Hill was in it. Did you see that with the mortgages and everything going on in Miami? It was within the past 2 years. There was a movie about the whole time when it was just...
Uh-huh.
People are going crazy. Everybody was a real estate agent. It was, you know, do you feel like that is what's going on now? And all, in that being the case, how does somebody really get started and not get too excited and just pay too much?
That's a great question. I think what you're seeing now, and I said it to Jake, when you know it's a little bit overheated, it's when people start making money in spite of themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost anybody can make money in the market. And hey, listen, it's great. I mean, Warren Buffett, you know, he says be greedy when people are scared and be scared when people are greedy. So I think that's another mantra, and you see it going on. And you always hear guys, you know, who are taxi cab drivers talking about the stock market and being day traders and waitresses who are being real estate agents. It's we're I wouldn't say we're there. I just think things are a little bit different this time. I think banks are on a lot sturdier foundation. I think the overall economics are a lot better than they were 7-8 years ago. That being said, I think you just really have to focus and you really have to do your due diligence. When you get into a deal, you have to know whether you're going to be investing with somebody, do the diligence on the sponsor, or really pay attention to where you're focusing on. Not so much the deal, focus on your market first. And then once you pick the market, focus on the deal itself.
Are there any tips, because I love what you've told us already, are there any tips you have? You know, people talk about how to find properties that are not on the MLS, how to find, some people have people out bird dogging, they pay referral fees. A lot of this stuff is talked about a lot. A lot of it works, but then again, even I know that. I had some properties, so I'm not completely like a newbie. I actually did over 100 transactions. I had a brokerage.
Wow.
But my point is, I'm not completely new. But I know a lot of these things are talked about. Is there anything, any tip that you know of in terms of finding a good deal? Maybe just one that you could think of off the top of your head that somebody could do to find a property that's kind of like, maybe flying under the radar.
Well, the first thing I think anybody needs to do in real estate is they need to find a motivated seller. I think that's what we focus on, the mom and pops. You need to focus on somebody who's having an issue or having a problem and they're motivated to sell. Because if they're not motivated to sell, then you're not going to get a deal on it. And that's, I think, with anything in life. I think you need to find the true motivation. I think once you start looking at a deal, find out why they're selling. I mean, you have to learn how to negotiate with people, learn about what their problem is and learn how you can solve their problem. And that's what we did in our first deal. We had a motivated seller and every single one of our properties falls under that umbrella, a mom and pop. Mom and pop can be 10 units. It can be, 281 units that we bought and they have all very similar characteristics. They're either landlords who are burned out, who have no systems, who are just motivated to sell, whether it's through a divorce, whether it's through a partner acrimony, whether it's through infighting with a family member, whether it's just they just want to get the heck out, or whether in our case, our first deal, they just want to retire. You have to focus on that. I think the next thing is if you're in real estate, you really have to, network. I came down here and I've met a couple of guys down here. I met that guy, Len. All of a sudden, I'm doing deals with Len. I mean, it's just amazing. You find the synergy. You want to be with like-minded people. You want to, get in that space. And what I'm doing down here, I'm getting my real estate license, not because I want to sell real estate, but because I want to network with other real estate brokers. I think that's where everyone can start. I mean, I had my license up in New York. I want to jump on down here. I want to get my license down here. And you just start meeting people and start talking to people and telling people what you want to do.
I always love telling people 360training.com, which we have no affiliation with, 360training.com, the Florida online real estate school is like $50.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, the cost of that. And then there are other fees, the association fees, like $700 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's maybe $100 to take the test. So,
yep.
And you don't even necessarily have to join an association. So it's really to get started in terms of getting your license, it doesn't cost that much. It's actually a little bit harder than it was 10 years ago because I actually got mine again. After being traumatized from the 2008 crash and all this. And then, so I took it again. And it's actually a little harder now. It's not super easy, but it's definitely doable. And the cost is so low compared to universities. But then they also don't teach you how to make money in real estate school. So you need to find somebody like Gino. So Gino's site, and we're going there now, is jakeandgino.com. And I recommend going here because you can learn so much about real estate. There's a lot of stuff you can access for free. Get free access to Jake and Gino's course that has changed the future of both seasoned and new investors. For a very short time, they're offering completely free access to this course. So you can click, you can watch a video from Gino. So that's jakeandgino.com. And I really love what Gino has told us that. I think it's so valuable because, as MC Lobsher said on Cashflow Ninja, which Gino and I have been on that show, owning multifamily real estate is like owning a business. It's not just the flipping. And so I recommend going to jakeandgino.com. I think he's given us so much valuable advice and there's so much more that he has available. So they have live events. It's definitely worth looking into. Nobody knows 100% what's going to go on with the market, but it's definitely worth looking into. And I also want to tell you about, before we leave today, 99designs, because Jake and Gino have a beautiful website. If you go right now, and I'm going to do this now, I'm going to type in www.believe.love/99. If you're worried about designs, because as you saw, Jake and Gino have a beautiful site. 99 Designs lets you put a contest up. So you can put a contest up, you can get beautiful designs, and it says here, design is the secret to great business. And when you visit our sponsors, it actually, you support the broadcast. But if you're kind of on the fence in terms of starting your business, getting a great website, 99 Designs, in my opinion, is really awesome. It's super simple. Just tell them what you need, pick a design package, and wait for designs to roll in. And then you can choose the design that is the winning design, from logos, merchandise, and packaging to web design, business advertising, and more. So definitely check them out, www.believe.love/99 to get that. So thank you for joining us on Believe. Our website is believe.love and youtube.com/believe loves you. We want to help you to succeed. We want to help you to feel happy. True success, of course, is one of our categories, but we also want to help you to make money. We all have to pay bills. And so guys like Gino Barbaro have really given us some valuable advice. And so thank you for joining us on Believe. I hope you have a great day or night, wherever you may be.